One of the most popular and widespread ideas in religion today is known as premillennialism. Now, this word, as we have noted, is not in the Bible. The Bible does not use this word. And so we have to go to sources outside of the Bible to understand what's meant by it. And when we look at the word, we see that there are two basic words involved in this term. The word pre, which means before, and millennial, which means 1,000. So the idea of premillennialism is that Jesus, sometime in the future, will return and that he will set up the earthly kingdom of Israel to a prominence never before seen in the world, and that Jesus will reign as king over Israel for 1,000 literal years, during which time the nation of Israel will be the greatest kingdom on earth, and there will be unparalleled and unprecedented peace and prosperity. That will be preceded, the doctrine says, by the rapture and the 7 years of great tribulation. Now, that's the idea known as premillennialism. Now, what we're focusing on right now is the millennial part of it. We've looked at the idea of the rapture, the great tribulation, and the ideas connected and associated with it. But we're looking at the idea specifically now that says that sometime in the future, Jesus will set up his kingdom, that he will be on the earth again, that he will be on the earth as a king over his political kingdom, and that he will reign for 1,000 literal years. Now, this again is a very common idea today. There are many people that believe this. And what we're asking everyone to do is to look at the Bible and to ask the question, is this really taught in the Bible? And we're looking at some facts from the Bible which show that this doctrine, though widely believed and firmly believed by many people, is not in the Scriptures. The first reason that we gave as to why this idea is contrary to the Bible is the fact that the kingdom is already here, and the Bible thoroughly establishes that the kingdom was in existence in the first century. Now, what we're looking at today, then, is reason number two, and that is that Jesus' kingdom is spiritual in nature. It is not political. It has never been designed. It was never the purpose of God to set up another political empire known as the kingdom or the kingdom of heaven. The Old Testament prophets prophesied that the kingdom was going to be established. Isaiah 2 talks about it. Isaiah 9 talks about this great kingdom and this great government that the Son of God would set up. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2 especially, you find that Daniel prophesies of this kingdom that was, from his standpoint, in the future. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, Daniel promised that God would set up a kingdom which would never be destroyed. So yes, the Old Testament prophets prophesied that the kingdom would be established. But what kind of kingdom? These Jews looked at those scriptures which prophesied of the kingdom for hundreds of years. They examined and they scrutinized those verses and they talked about them. But the Jews assumed during all those generations that the kingdom that Isaiah and Daniel and others prophesied of in their scriptures, that that kingdom was going to be an earthly political empire, that it was going to be the restoration and the exaltation of the nation of Israel as they had known it. In other words, they believed that the kingdom of Old Testament prophecy was going to be an earthly kingdom. And so we find in the New Testament that the Jews had high expectations about this kingdom, that their hope was set on the nation of Israel being restored to a level of prominence so that the kingdom of Israel would be the most powerful nation on earth. Now, if we're going to understand and appreciate the sentiment that the Jews had about their nationality, we have to go back and remember their history. When the New Testament opens, when John the Baptist and when Jesus come on the scene talking about the kingdom being established in their near future, we have to remember that the nation of Israel had not been an independent nation for hundreds of years. The northern nation of Israel had been conquered by the Assyrians over 700 years before Jesus was born. Over 600 years before Jesus was born, the Babylonians attacked Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple and took many of those Jews as captives back to the land of Babylon, where they remained for 70 years. After the Babylonian captivity, we find that the Jews were under Persian rule. They were not an independent nation. They were in subjection to the Persians. After the Persians, the nation of Israel was in subjection to the Greeks. And after, of course, the Greeks, the Romans came into power, and the Israelite nation, the Jewish people, were in subjection to the Romans. And we have to remind ourselves that the Jews then were in subjection to Gentiles for hundreds of years. And those Jews resented that. They looked at their Old Testament scriptures. They remembered and were reminded of, as they read those Old Testament verses, that they had had a history where they were the most powerful nation on earth. They looked at the nation of Israel, for instance, under Solomon's rule, and they remembered a time where Israel was the superpower of the whole world. And now Israel is in subjection to Gentile. And so when the New Testament begins, there have been hundreds of years and many generations of frustration on the part of these Jews, and a lot of resentment to go with it. And as the New Testament begins, these Jews are under Roman rule. And being under Roman rule, they have to pay taxes to the Roman government. It's not just that they have to submit to Roman law. It's also that they have to pay taxes which go to support a pagan, heathen government. Now, this really galled the Jews. It really upset them. And so one of the issues that they debated among themselves was whether or not it was scriptural to pay taxes to a government that would use it to support and to promote idolatry and all kinds of other heathen practices and ideas. So this is the climate into which Jesus came. So when Jesus is talking about the kingdom to these Jews, what is in their mind? What are they thinking about? They're not thinking along the line of a kingdom which is going to be spiritual in nature. When they hear him use the word kingdom, they're thinking that their nation, that their political system, is going to be elevated to its former prominence, and that they're going to throw off Roman rule, that they're going to be above the Romans rather than the Romans being above them. Now, this was their hope. This was their expectation, and they were completely wrong about it. These Jews entirely misunderstood Jesus' mission. They misunderstood and they misinterpreted what Jesus said about the kingdom, because they assumed, because of all of these preconceived ideas, that the kingdom was going to be political. And so when Jesus explains these things, it's no surprise that these Jews entirely miss what the point of the kingdom is all about. And of course, it's interesting also to see how far-reaching that kind of preconceived idea or thinking was, because even the disciples of Jesus, after hearing him preach time and again, still believed, after Jesus was raised from the dead and before he ascended back up into heaven, that the kingdom was going to be political. And you read about that in Acts 1, verses 6 and 7. But for now, what I want to do is to show how mistaken these people were in the first century, and in so doing, we're going to show that people today who expect Jesus to come and to set up a political empire are just as mistaken as these Jews were 2,000 years ago, and to, of course, remind ourselves that history does indeed repeat itself. Let's look beginning in Luke chapter 17 today, the book of Luke chapter 17. Now, remembering this mindset of the Jews and what they think the kingdom is or is going to be that Jesus is talking about, let's look at Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 20. In Luke 17, verse 20, the Bible says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God comes not with observation. Neither shall they say, 'Lo, here,' or 'Lo, there.' For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is not going to be seen like an earthly empire. It is not going to have the celebration and the parades and the magnificent sight that the kingdoms of the world have, whether you're talking about the display of the military or the procession of rulers in that kingdom in the sight of all the people. It's not going to have that kind of visible display, because Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. So these Pharisees were typical among the Jews, because when they ask about the kingdom, they're thinking of a certain kind of kingdom. When Jesus answers and talks about the kingdom, he's talking about something entirely different. Now then, let's turn to John chapter 6, the book of John chapter 6, and I want to look at verse 15. John chapter 6, verse 15. Here the Bible says, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king." Now notice that the Bible says here that Jesus knew that what those people wanted to do was to make him their king. These Jews wanted Jesus to be their king. Now, if Jesus had come to be that kind of king, then why didn't he comply with their wishes here? Why didn't he say, "Well, you know, I have come to be an earthly king. I have come to set up a political empire or kingdom, and I'm ready for you to take me to make me your king." Well, Jesus never came to begin with to be their earthly king. And so the Bible says in John 6, verse 15, when they wanted to take him by force to make him a king, an earthly king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Jesus refused. He would not cooperate with them. Why? Because it was never his mission. It was never his intention to be that kind of king. Now then, let's turn to John chapter 18, the book of John chapter 18, and here we find a fascinating verse on the question of the kind of kingdom that Jesus came to establish. In John chapter 18, Jesus is before Pilate. Now, Pilate is in an earthly kingdom. Pilate is an official in the most powerful nation on earth. And remember that there is this tension between the nation of Israel and the nation of the Romans. And the Israelite people at this time resent Roman dominion over them. But at this time, Jesus is before Pilate. And Pilate has heard that Jesus is going to be the king of the Jews. Well, when Pilate thinks about a king, he's talking about and he's thinking about an earthly king. And so he asked Jesus in John chapter 18, verse 35, "Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you unto me. What have you done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now that is the most plain, that is the most straightforward passage that I know of in the Bible that deals with the question, what kind of kingdom did Jesus come to establish? And Jesus plainly said, "My kingdom is not of this world." That's John 18, verse 36. So when you hear people talking today about politics and the Bible, remember that the Bible teaches that the kingdom of God was never intended to be an earthly political empire. The kingdom of God is the church, Jesus' spiritual kingdom.